Imagine this. You are a senior NASA executive in January 1986. The Space Shuttle Challenger stands ready on the launch pad. It's a frigid Florida morning. Engineers warn that the O-rings, tiny rubber seals in the booster rockets, could fail in the cold. You've flown 24 successful shuttle missions. You are confident. The world is watching. The countdown proceeds. 73 seconds after launch, Challenger disintegrates in midair. Seven lives are lost. A nation, the world, is stunned. What happened? Not just a technical failure, a psychological one. The hidden force? Overconfidence.
You are listening to The Mammoth in the Room, a podcast dedicated to sharing science-backed leadership strategies for real-world success.
Welcome to The Mammoth in the Room, where we examine the instincts shaping modern leadership. I'm Nicholas Bocconi, the CEO of Mammoth Leadership Sciences, and this is episode one of our new five-part miniseries, Overconfidence, Leadership's Double-Edged Sword. Over the next five episodes, we'll explore how these ancient bias so often rewarded can quietly sabotage individuals, teams, and entire organizations. And a quick heads up, this fall, Mammoth Leadership Sciences will launch the brand new online leadership academy, within which we will offer a powerful leadership course designed to help leaders embrace biological, psychological, and behavioral economic truths to make the leadership journey more rewarding and successful. We keep you posted. Let's return to Challenger. In the months leading up to launch, NASA had become a symbol of national pride. Years of flawless missions bred a mindset of, we've got this. When engineers raised safety concerns, management brushed them aside. Their confidence wasn't just personal, it was cultural. Investigators later coined a term, normalization of defiance. Minor anomalies were ignored, rationalized as acceptable because nothing catastrophic had occurred yet. The absence of failure became proof of control. Past success lulled leadership into a fatal sense of certainty. Challenger was not just a shuttle disaster. It was a case study in hubris. Now, there is a pattern through history. NASA wasn't alone. History is full of leaders who ignored warnings, drunk on their own momentum. Consider the Titanic, deemed unsinkable. It sped through iceberg-infested waters, tragically short on lifeboats. Overconfidence fueled its demise. Unsinkable, until it wasn't. There is a, what we think, historical quote in the most famous Titanic movie, in a dialogue between Joseph Bruce Ismayan, an English businessman who served as chairman and managing director of the White Star Line, and Thomas Andrews, the ship designer. When the chairman, the leader, confidently declares, "But this ship can't sink," the designer responds with a chilling line, "She's made of iron, sir. I assure you she can, and she will. It's a mathematical certainty." Or take Napoleon, who in 1812 launched an ambitious invasion of Russia. Convinced of a swift victory, he dismissed strategic advice. His grand army was decimated by a brutal winter in resistance. Boldness turned into ruin. In business, think Blockbuster. Convinced that their rental model was invincible, they laughed off Netflix. Overconfidence clouded foresight. They filed for bankruptcy in 2010. The pattern is clear. When leaders stop listening, internally or externally, disaster isn't far behind. But isn't the question then, why does overconfidence exist in the first place? Because when so many smart, experienced leaders fall into this trap, you gotta ask yourself, what is the purpose? Why did this behavior even develop? We discuss the biology of human behavior, any behavior of any species ever walked this planet, at length in this podcast. And we know that evolutionary stable behavior must have a positive impact on the individual fitness of the carriers. So why are we doing this, being overconfident? And indeed, the answer lies deep in our biology. Overconfidence evolved for a reason. In ancient environments, boldness often paid off. Confident warriors won more battles, resources, and mates. Leaders who overestimated their chances sometimes succeeded by intimidating rivals or rallying support through sheer belief. As evolutionary biologist Robert Trivers argues, even self-deception can be advantageous. If you believe your own story, you project it more convincingly to others. That confidence, whether real or imagined, can persuade, unify, and win. In this light, overconfidence is not a flaw, it's a feature, one that helped us survive. But what worked in small tribes often backfires in modern systems. In complex organizations and volatile markets, reality doesn't care about charisma. Modern research has peeled back the layers of overconfidence. Psychologists Don Moore and Paul Healy define it in three parts. And again, we have the literature in the show notes. Overestimation, believing we're more capable than we really are. Overplacement, believing we are better than others. And overprecision, being too certain we know the truth. Most of us exhibit one or more of these, especially in leadership roles. For example, studies show people from higher social classes tend to be more confident regardless of their actual ability. In interviews, bold candidates are often rated as more competent, even when their performance is average. Belmi et al. 2020 found that. Confidence is often mistaken for a skill. And think about it. Confidence in business is a highly promoted behavior. Every presentation coach tells you, you've got to come across more confident. Even for a job interview, you train to be more confident. Even if you have no clue about the job, it's an industry. How to be more confident in job interviews. Be clear, decisive, convincing. You can hire interview coaches and do mock interviews where you learn all that and more. Lie if needed, right? Because we want to get these jobs. And then there's the Dunning-Kruger effect. Those with the least competence often overestimate themselves the most. They don't know enough to recognize their own limitations. Mindset plays a role too. Joyce Erlinger and colleagues found that individuals with a fixed mindset, believing intelligence is innate, tend to avoid challenges and negative feedback. They maintain inflated self-images by focusing only on their successes. By contrast, people with a growth mindset confront their mistakes and build a more accurate self-assessment over time. Erlinger et al. 2016 found that. These findings explain why overconfidence is so persistent and so hard to unlearn. If you're starting to see yourself or your organization in these stories, stay with us. Over the next four episodes, we'll dissect overconfidence one layer at a time. Episode 2 will explore overestimation, how we misjudge our control over outcomes. Episode 3 will take on overplacement, why we assume we're better than others. Episode 4 will reveal the danger of overprecision, the certainty trap. And episode 5 would expose the social side of overconfidence, from self-deception to manipulation. Each episode will pair real-world stories with science and offer practical ways to keep overconfidence from hijacking your leadership. Okay, let's recap. Overconfidence is a feature of evolution. It's not a bug. It helped our ancestors survive, but can derail us in modern leadership. It wears many masks: control, pride, certainty, and even charm. Next week, in episode 2, we explore the illusion of control. We'll revisit another historic disaster and examine why even the smartest leaders overestimate their influence and how it costs them. Don't forget, Mammoth Leadership Sciences launches its online leadership course this fall. It's built for leaders who want to sharpen their instincts, apply scientific insights, and create high-performing cultures. And of course, check out my book, The Mammoth in the Room. It's packed with practical guidance for leading teams while navigating the evolutionary instincts that still shape human behavior. Until then, lead wisely, think critically, and don't let ancient instincts hijack your modern leadership. I'm Nicholas Bocconi, and this is The Mammoth in the Room.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy this content, don't forget to subscribe. I'll see you on the next episode of The Mammoth in the Room.